It's time for your weekly fix of wrestling nostalgia when we look at wrestling's past eras from the Attitude Era to the Reality Era.
I'd like to think that maybe this company will be better after Vince McMahon's dead, but the fact is, it's going to get taken over by his idiotic daughter and his doofus son-in-law and the rest of his stupid family.
To today. Here on the WWE Podcast.
Welcome to the WWE Podcast. It is January 29th, 2020. It's Wrestling Nostalgia Night. And tonight, it's part two of a three-part series looking back at one of the biggest and best rivalries in the history of professional wrestling, that being Stone Cold Steve Austin versus The Rock. And tonight, as we land in part two of the three-part series, we are going back to WrestleMania 17. We are looking at the main event of WrestleMania 17 and dissecting it and giving you audio and my real-time thoughts and memories from that fateful night many years ago in April of 2001. Yeah, we're almost coming up on 20 years since this main event. It's crazy. It's mind-boggling that we've almost gone 20 years since this main event happened. Even saying it is crazy. But it happened, and it was extremely well-received by the most of fans. Back then, social media wasn't a thing, so I can't say social media received it well. But the fan reaction from around the globe was that this main event blew everything out of the water. And really, the WrestleMania itself was viewed as one of the best WrestleManias of all time in Houston, Texas. So this was a significant time in the history of wrestling, and we're going to get into not just the build to the pay-per-view and what led to this part two and the amazing sit-down interview with Jim Ross and The Rock backstage in the locker room when Stone Cold said famously, "I have to beat you, Rock. I have to beat you. I need it more than anything you can imagine." And really just kind of foreshadowing his really largely unsuccessful heel turn that also took place during this match, or after the match, I should say, in which Stone Cold has mentioned many times if he had one thing he could change, that would be the moment, that would be the night. He would take back that moment, and we'll get into that as well. So, guys, welcome. Thank you again for joining me as we get back on track. The Royal Rumble is in our rearview mirror, and we are full steam ahead into the next pay-per-view, which is Super Showdown, live from Saudi Arabia, which is going to take place on February 27th, a Thursday. Yeah, these weird pay-per-view days continue with the Saudi Arabia schedule. I don't know if it's something that is religiously based of why it's on a Thursday and not a weekend, or I don't know, but they continue to fall on strange days. And so many of us will watch this pay-per-view on delay or not watch it at all out of protest. So that'll be the next landing spot as we creep closer to WrestleMania, and then we'll have one more stop at Elimination Chamber, and then we're off to the races. We got 10 weeks until WrestleMania, and it's going to fly by. I mean, the 6 weeks from the Rumble from TLC to the Rumble certainly went a lot faster than I expected to. So 10 weeks, it's nothing, right? It's going to fly by. So guys, if you haven't already, checked out my full Royal Rumble review and Raw review with my three co-hosts of Zach Perez, Mary Grader, and Anthony DeMarco. We went over 2.5 hours of the pay-per-view and Raw and gave our thoughts. And it was an awesome conversation. I would really highly recommend you check it out, with a bit of a disclaimer. And this came when I uploaded my audio into my program and did some, you know, just reviewing and ad placement and all that kind of thing. And I reviewed it, and I put the file into my audio program, and it just looked like the audio was maxed out for that, my upload. I'm like, what the hell is this, right? Because I had my audio string, and I had all of my co-host audio string right underneath it. And their audio string looked normal with the, you know, the, when I say audio string, like the visual of the audio, you know, it looks up and down depending on how loud you talk, you know, it kind of looks like a heart monitor of sorts, right? But mine was just maxed out almost the entire time, every time I talked. And I'm looking at it and I play it. I go, son of a, oh, I was, and there's not really much you can do for that. And it sounded like I was blowing out the mic every time I talked. So I got the volume down, but it was still distorted because I accidentally on Skype upped the mic volume to the max. Instead of doing auto adjust the mic, I just put the maximum gain for the microphone on Skype, and that's what caused the whole damn thing, which is how I record my calls. So that really messed me up, and I apologize, guys. I know it's super distracting and a bit annoying. So that's totally my bad. I should have just left the damn setting alone. I changed it like 2 days ago. I don't know why I did. So, but again, if you would like to listen, it is listenable, but I will be honest, it's a bit distracting with my audio of every time I talk. So anything outside of me talking during the conversation is quite interesting and quite entertaining and definitely was a blast. And I'd like to continue the tradition of a post pay-per-view discussion, right? Or a meeting, or I'd say roundtable, but that is a phrase that is used by another popular wrestling podcast. So I'm not going to hijack that. So I'll come up with another phrase or terminology for the post pay-per-view discussions with co-hosts. So that will be coming. I'm going to try to make that a thing moving forward for every pay-per-view, especially the big pay-per-views. WrestleMania is just going to be an absolute crazy town here with audio, and it's going to be a show every day. I mean, there's already a show every day now, but I'm going to up the shows that I do, I'm sure, as we get closer to WrestleMania, which, again, I'm telling you, it's going to fly by. So, guys, thank you for being a loyal listener to the show through all the technical difficulties that I have at times, and just some things that you may or may not like. Or hey, look, I hear you with the ads. I get it. But I don't know anybody that would not want to monetize their show. I mean, it just makes sense. It just makes sense. So, all right. Well, guys, with all that out of the way, please give me a follow on Twitter at the WWE Podcast. You can also head on over to the website at WWEpodcast.com, and you can get all the latest shows there and blogs and anything else that you'd like to check out. It's a completely overhauled site that I had redone a number of months ago and gave it a complete facelift. So check it out. It's definitely something that I spent a good amount of time and money on. I'll just leave it at that. And a lot more planned for the site. I'm not exactly a web developer, so when you don't know what to do, well, it gets expensive because you got to find someone that does. So, but anyway, guys, let's get to the main event here. Let's get to the reason we're here, and it's time to travel back in time, and it's time to take us back. Where are we going? Well, I kind of alluded to it before. We are going back to April 2001. We're going back to the WrestleMania that took place in Houston, Texas, and this is a time in which wrestling was still, we were still in the Attitude Era, and we were not yet quite into the ruthless aggression, although that was right around the corner. It's a time that was, wrestling was absolutely thriving. It was at its peak. The following year, we would have the NWO come in, and The Rock would face Hulk Hogan at WrestleMania, and Stone Cold would be in a throwaway match with Scott Hall, which still to this day befuddles my mind. That's not what we're here to talk about. We're trying to talk about the year before at 17. So again, this was April 1st, 2001, 67,925 people in the Reliant Astrodome in Houston, Texas. At the time, they were still known as the World Wrestling Federation. I still do like saying WWF. Anybody else? I know it's been, like, I don't know, 17 years? Whatever it's been. I still like WWF. It just rolls off the tongue much better. WWF just sounds cooler, doesn't it? Instead of WWE. Okay. I don't know. I guess old habits die hard, and that's it's been way too long for me to even care about that. But, okay, so this is a match, again, and let me, before I get to the Rock Austin, I do want to just kind of give you quick what the match card looked like here. We had first, we had X-Factor, which is just incredible, and X-Pac with Albert defeating Grandmaster Sexay and Steve Blackman. Chris Jericho defeating William Regal for the Intercontinental Championship. Taz and the APA, which considered consisted of Bradshaw and Farouk, with Jacqueline defeating Right to Censor. God, that was an that was a really underutilized or underappreciated group, which consisted of Bull Buchanan, The Godfather, and Val Venus with Stevie Richards. Oh, God. It's just such a heat-seeking group. I loved it. Kane defeated Raven and Big Show in a triple threat hardcore match for the WWF Hardcore Championship. Eddie Guerrero with Perry Saturn defeated Test for the European Championship. Kurt Angle defeated Chris Benoit. China defeated Ivory. Shane McMahon defeated Mr. McMahon with Stephanie and Trish in a street fight with Mick Foley as a special referee. Edge and Christian, timely there, defeated the Dudley Boys and the Hardy Boys in the in what was then and is still now viewed as one of the best tables, ladders, and chairs matches for of all time. And this was for the WWF Tag Team Championship. This was the moment that we see replayed over and over and over on highlight reels of Edge spearing Jeff Hardy off of the rung that was holding the championship belts. It's an amazing spot. That'll stand the test of time for sure. The Iron Sheik won by eliminating Hillbilly Jim in a gimmick battle royal. Yeah, that lasted 3 minutes. Why? I don't know. So there's a bit of a blemish for the show. The Undertaker defeated Triple H in almost 18 minutes and 19 seconds. And then, of course, you had Stone Cold Steve Austin defeating The Rock in a no disqualification match for the WWF Championship. So certainly a stacked card. A lot of matches, I'll be honest, I didn't remember. I mean, that just, how can you, right? Like, for example, I would have bet my bank account that if you could name just three matches beyond Stone Cold and The Rock, you wouldn't have been able to. Outside of Undertaker, Triple H, and outside of Shane and Mr. McMahon, I don't think anybody would have gotten anything else, right? So, but when you look at it, you look at the stars on this card, you have Kane, you have Eddie Guerrero, you have Kurt Angle, Chris Benoit, China, right? You have Taz, you have Chris Jericho. This is a stacked card. Edge and Christian, Dudley Boys, Hardy Boys, three of the best tag teams in WWE history. So this card certainly had star power, and it had a lot of huge moments, as WWE loves to say. They're all about moments. Makes me my stomach churn. But, I mean, I get what they're saying, right? I know that WWE is all about moments because moments are all you remember in life. So what else are you about? I mean, really, like, when you think about your life, right? Look back at your life, your entire life. What do you remember? Well, you remember moments in your life. You remember maybe the day you got married, maybe your first kiss, maybe your first job, right? You remember moments in time. So when WWE says they're all about moments, well, you kind of have to be, because that's how the human psyche works. So you don't have much of a choice but to just be moments. So, I understand what the language and the meaning behind it, but when you break it down just even a little bit, that phrase just disintegrates into stupidity. Because, again, as human beings, we only remember moments. Seriously. I mean, that's it. Okay. Anyway, I'm getting way off the rails, as my brain does. But what I'd like to do now, and this is something that I will never forget. This is not the match itself yet. And what I'm doing is pulling up, as I'm stalling a little bit, I'm pulling up the interview with Jim Ross. So this happened a couple of weeks before the pay-per-view, if I recall correctly. And these two, before I even play this, they, after WrestleMania 15, which I had previously done part one last week, were on parallel careers, but separate careers. They crossed paths only at the Royal Rumble. And, of course, at Armageddon in the Hell in a Cell match, they had a moment in there too. But their one-on-one wouldn't happen really for 2 years after WrestleMania 15. You had Backlash, and you had a couple of follow-ups. But their next WrestleMania encounter took 2 years in the making, which, when you think about where both performers grew from WrestleMania 15, particularly The Rock, coming into his own, becoming a massive, massive babyface, and Austin, who continued on his trek, was derailed for 8 months with a neck injury and surgery, comes back, goes on a hunt, hunts down Triple H, hunts down Rikishi, beats the holy hell out of them. He comes back, eventually getting into a program with The Rock, and he's right back where he wanted to be. And you have these two mega, mega baby faces, biggest in the history of the industry. I don't care what promotion, what time, what year, what era, bigger than Andre, bigger than Hogan. And some of you may say, are you kidding me, Hulk Hogan? Yeah, Hulk Hogan put them on the map. But The Rock and Austin, in their own right, in their own careers, I believe saved WWE from going under at a time when the Monday Night Wars were real, at a time when the WWF was sinking quickly. 83 weeks, WCW beat WWE. If it wasn't for Austin, if it wasn't for The Rock, and really The Undertaker, those were the three key guys. So, I mean, again, when you look at money drawn too, these are the top two guys, hands down. So, let's take a listen to this interview, as Jim Ross had done a sit-down interview in a locker room with Austin and The Rock, and it was just brilliant. And this was not something done ever with these two, and it was different, it was real. Sit-down interviews can be extremely effective, and this was one of the most iconic sit-down interviews of all time. So let's take a listen.
Full speed ahead.
It's full speed ahead because when I get in there with The Rock in the Astrodome, 65,000 screaming fans watching every single move that happens in that ring, yeah, I got to beat that man. I've never wrestled an hour in my life, but if that's what it takes to get the job done, that's exactly what I'll do. My strategy is to go in there, do whatever it takes to beat The Rock. 1, 2, 3, to become the World Wrestling Federation champion.
Rock, without revealing your hand and your strategy, your mindset as far as your approach to this as competitor to competitor.
Revealing my hand and my strategy. The fact of the matter is this, is you brought up a very good point, Jim Ross, is that The Rock doesn't have to beat Stone Cold, but Stone Cold has to beat The Rock. But as far as I'm concerned, the belt is dangling, and we're both going for it. So I got one reason and one reason only to go inside that ring, and that is to beat Stone Cold Steve Austin. It's just that simple. Well, I'm just going to go in there and back off just because I'm the champion.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that, because I don't want you to be on defense the whole match. Yeah, I appreciate the fact that you want to beat Stone Cold as much as I need to beat you.
I'm just going to pause it there. Again, alluding to need. I need to beat you. This is something I need to do. Foreshadowing what's to come with the heel turn. And of course we'll get there, but let's continue, skip ahead a little bit. And, cause I don't want it to be too long of a, recording here, but okay, let's continue. And then we'll get to the match.
There's a reason why they call me the most electrifying man the world has ever seen and all that. And there's a reason why they call me the best. Come April 1, two unstoppable forces will meet and all questions will be answered.
Your final thoughts about this match?
Yeah. Without getting overly sentimental, I'll go on the record as saying every single time that I've been in the ring with The Rock, he has brought out the absolute best in Stone Cold Steve Austin. So when I roll in to the Astrodome in WrestleMania on April 1st, do I want to beat you on a personal level? Oh, hell yeah, I do. But on a professional level, which bleeds over in my personal existence, I need to beat you, Rock. I need it more than anything that you can ever imagine. So that's the mentality I roll into the Astrodome with, the fact that Stone Cold Steve Austin is back and that I must beat The Rock to be the World Wrestling Federation champion once again. And there is no other way. There can be only one. There can be only one World Wrestling Federation champion. And that will be Rock when it's all said and done. Stone Cold Steve Austin, with all due respect.
Again, the intensity in this room, in this interview with sit down, which again was unheard of at the time. It was otherworldly. I remember it very vividly. I'll never forget that sit down interview, and I'm sure many of you probably feel the same way of how effective it was. When you get away from the same old tired format of doing interviews and wrestling promos, it doesn't always have to take place in the same fashion. It can be executed in many different ways. And this is a prime example. I don't need every interview to suddenly go to a sit-down interview. Of course not. Just because this was extremely effective doesn't mean that everyone that is a sit-down interview is extremely effective. But you saw it even with Roman Reigns on the Snowden Raw. After he won the Rumble in 15, got booed out of the building, and then had a sit-down interview with Paul Heyman and Brock Lesnar and Roman, and I forget who the interviewer was. It might have been Michael Cole, but Roman was at his best there too. So it works in certain formats. It works when it's not done a lot. And this really, really stood out to me. So, all right. Well, one other thing before we get to the match, and just because, I really just, I'll never, ever listen to this song in a different tone anymore. Let me just give you guys a little bit of a preview or a bit of a throwback to what the promo was for this match. Just take a listen and time to ring some memories here. So here we go. So anybody else remember that? Oh yeah, I do. Well, he didn't get to the good part, so let's just fast forward a little bit. Oh, yeah. There it is, right? I mean, that is just classic stuff. I know you guys can't see the visual of that, but, I mean, you know what's going through your head is that music video with Austin stunning Rock and Rock stunning Austin and Rock Bottoms and beer and just middle fingers. And I don't need to tell you. You've seen it. I've seen it. But it's a song that it just fit perfectly for the time. Limp Bizkit was actually a thing back then, and the song certainly fit. The editing was genius, and it just added to the whole ambiance of this match, because these two, it felt more important than 15, and honestly, it even felt more important than 19, because 19 was kind of a shell of 17. It was like Shawn Michaels and Undertaker following up WrestleMania 25 with 26. You just can't ever really recapture that magic that you had. I mean, 17 was just from a storyline perspective, the two at the top of their careers, paralleling each other, mega baby faces. 19, again, I'm getting a little ahead of myself for the next week, part three, but I think 19 was certainly exciting, and it was Rock Austin. It doesn't get better than that. But it felt like Rock was really one toe in, one toe out of the business at that point. We knew Austin was at the end of his career, but we didn't all know it was his final match. And we'll talk more about that next week. But again, this I think, by the majority of fans' perspectives, I believe that I speak for most of fans when I say that this was their best of the three. And of course, we'll cover next week, part three, and the WrestleMania 19 in Seattle, Washington. What do you guys, whose side were you on when you were watching this in real time? And maybe you didn't, maybe you're too young or you weren't into wrestling at the time. Were you on Stone Cold's side? Were you a Rock, on the Rock side? I was very torn. Personally, I was a huge Rock fan, but if you're going to put the Rock against Stone Cold Steve Austin, I'm going to cheer for Stone Cold every time. That's not an easy decision. But this the love for Stone Cold and the excitement Stone Cold brings, I think, rivals and outdoes The Rock. And I don't think The Rock ever truly reached the Stone Cold level. I just don't. I think Stone Cold was in a category of his own, despite how insanely successful The Rock is. That's how much of an impact Stone Cold had on the business, how much money he brought in for the business, ratings, you name it. He just blew the roof off of the in terms of numbers and buy rates and everything else, ticket sales. He certainly blew everything out of the water. And that's why I don't think, even reaction wise, The Rock never quite got to Stone Cold's level. But all right, well, it's time for the match. Let's get to the match. And this is where, boy, we're going back in time here, right? This is where things get real, and I remember watching this in real time. I was in my my parents' basement. I didn't live there, but that's where I had to watch it because the TV in our living room was being taken up for something else. And I remember having to shell out like $60 for this, and I had to give it to my parents, or maybe they bought it for me. I can't remember, or maybe I tried to convince them. I can't remember, but I remember looking at the price going, holy crap, right? So we all complain about the $9.99 a month. But at the same time, you know, I didn't order every pay-per-view. I don't think most people did, but, WrestleMania certainly got you big time. And it was like anywhere from $50 to $70, depending on where you were. So, all right. Well, as we get into the match here, it starts, and I'll just give you the beginning of the match. Let's see, as I scroll through my video here, let's get to it, and let's go.
Champion!
So, I mean, again, you forget, too, that Paul Heyman was on commentary there. And you forget that he was with Jim Ross. And honestly, you forget how good that he was with Jim Ross. And I know that we love Jerry the King Lawler and we love Jim Ross as a combination. And they're the best pairing in the history of wrestling. At the same time, you know, Paul Heyman brings something to the table that the King didn't. And that's just a different perspective, a different voice. And he didn't act, you know, like a kind of a sophomoric man at the time who was, you know, all about puppies and that kind of stuff, which is still where he was at this time. I just loved Paul Heyman and Jim Ross. That's it's just a classic duo. I think they added a lot to this match. So let's continue on as the match progresses. And of course, we will get to the all important finish. So just take a listen and we'll continue on and give you my thoughts. So this is where we had Austin and Rock going back and forth, beating the hell out of each other. And at this point, the Rock's busted open, Austin's busted open, and Vince McMahon makes his way down to the ring mysteriously. And you think that he's there to screw Austin. And instead, he starts trying to help Austin. And you're thinking, what the hell's going on here, right? You're kind of wondering, how is this going to play out? What is Vince McMahon's motive here? It's got to be evil. Austin's definitely going to drop him with a stunner. Something's going on here. So let's continue and let's see what happens. So at this time, we have Austin and Rock using their own finishing maneuvers against them. And Vince McMahon still is continuing to just pester the Rock. And, well, let's see what happens. And there you see another hint at what's happening here. He low blows the Rock, and then here we go.
Austin has told Vince to give him a chair. What the hell is this? Austin has told him.
They're teaming up
again. Oh, this can't be. I don't know what the hell this is, but this can't. Oh, no. I thought the Rock was abducted, but he cut that.
Steve Austin just held the rope for Vince McMahon to smack him in the head with a chair.
What the hell is Austin demanded that McMahon bring the chair in? Vince has put the referee in.
The title.
I can't believe this. Oh, the Rock got his shoulder off.
So at this point, Austin's getting frustrated that the Rock's not going down. Vince is still continuing to help Austin, and here we go.
Oh, why, Rock scores with a rock bottom on Austin. And now Mr. McMahon detaining the referee. The Rock trying to pull himself up. What the hell is going on here? McMahon brought in the ring by the Rock. And now the Rock playing the smackdown.
And at this point, Austin's in shock, and I remember thinking, oh my God, because don't forget, this is still a time in which finishers are protected, because finishers at this time in wrestling, for the most part, especially compared to today, were just that. They were finishers. They finished the match. They didn't educate the audience to think, oh, well, we're getting closer to the end of the match, so here's a finisher. So that's just a clue to it's going to end soon, because we're trying to hit our finishers, and then it'll take a few more and then it'll probably end, right? That's how we are conditioned in 2020 to think like that. And I hate that. I look at a finisher now as kind of, for any finisher. And it's sad that, well, they're probably going to kick out, right? Or they'll get out of that submission. And it's just, I don't like that feeling. I want to be re-educated that finishers mean something. It's like somebody needs to go into the settings menu of this video game and up the damage a finisher does, because it has been lowered down all the way to the lowest setting that you can have, right? As a video game fanatic with wrestling video games, that is what it feels like. And they need to go into the settings and change that. So again, that's why it was so impactful now at this time, because after all the damage The Rock took, the chair shots, the grueling match, and he got a chair shot to the head, which, boy, I miss those. And then he got a stunner. He still kicked out. And then this is where Austin and Vince McMahon start to really lay it in as the match comes to a close. And at this point, oh boy, yeah, Austin had hit him flush with another chair shot. He kicks out again. And then, well, here we go with the finish, and then, of course, the heel turn.
Title. We are winning.
this is something that will be talked about for years to come.
I don't believe this. What the hell? Son of a bitch, I don't believe this.
I love when Jim Ross starts cussing. It just makes me laugh so much. I love when he just, oh God, when he starts swearing, there's just something hilarious about Jim Ross cussing. I don't know what it is. I love it. It's just, I don't know why. I can't explain it. It's just the way that he cusses is funny. And I'm not talking about his facial paralysis having anything to do with it. I'm just talking about his voice and the way he cusses is, I find it entertaining. But here we go with the Stone Cold heel turn. And I alluded to this earlier with Austin wishing that he had just said to Vince and called an audible in the ring after he beat The Rock, and having him say to Vince, watch the stunner, and he would have dropped him right there. And again, but Austin said he wished he had done that, only knowing what would lie ahead with his heel turn that was largely viewed as unsuccessful. And the next night on Raw, I also remember very vividly, he came out to a very positive reaction. And even here, an extremely positive reaction, even after he aligned himself with Vince, he still got an extremely positive reaction. You hear it. You don't hear any boos. He came out the next night on Raw and to a very positive reaction still. And then had said that, if you know, after Vince was in the ring, because Vince had come out at the beginning of Raw, Austin followed and said that, now that I've got Vince McMahon in this ring, if you want me to beat the hell out of Vince McMahon, give me a hell yeah. And the crowd says, hell yeah. And then Austin says, what? Hell yeah. And then they say, hell yeah. And then after that, he says, well, it ain't going to happen. And explains that it's not going to happen tonight. And The Rock comes out and it leads to a steel cage match at the end of Raw, where Austin or The Rock gets his hands on Austin. He gets his hands on Vince. And then ultimately Triple H comes down as the White Knight and then turns on The Rock. So you have a 3-on-1 situation. That's when the 2-man power trip happened the next night on Raw, where Austin really just went all in the best he could to have a successful heel turn. But the problem is, and I remember even thinking it at the time, and this isn't being a Monday morning quarterback, nobody wants to hate Stone Cold. You just don't. He's the ultimate babyface. And when he turns heel, it's like, it's just uncomfortable, because you may have baby faces on the roster, but you know how good that he can be as a babyface, and he just feels miscast. It's just a mismatch. It doesn't work. Austin as a heel never worked. There were times where, maybe when he was feuding with the Brothers of Destruction, Undertaker and Kane, that, I was kind of on the side of Undertaker and Kane because of what Triple H and Austin were doing, and I hated Triple H so much that having Austin be associated with him did certainly help at least cool my liking for Austin just a bit. But I remember when they beat the hell out of Lita, and that was supposed to get heat, but I kind of found it entertaining and hilarious. I never felt as if Austin ever got off the ground truly with his heel turn that he envisioned, because his thought process was, and this is well documented, that when you're hot as he was as a babyface, that when you flip, you'll be just as hot as a heel. Well, that doesn't work in the instance of Stone Cold Steve Austin, who is the ultimate babyface, and the crowd just had no interest in booing him. There wasn't that resentment building up for anything. He felt authentic. There was nothing that the audience was kind of burying in their souls of, well, I'm kind of getting tired of him, and I don't like the way he's being booked. He doesn't feel authentic. Scripted promos weren't really as prevalent as they are today. It wasn't really any of that. So when they turned, they're like, well, we don't have anything to give back to you, Stone Cold, to align with this role you're in, because we don't have any underlying negative feelings for you. We just effing love you. And I think a lot of that had to do with it too. There was just no bad feelings being harbored. So it just didn't work. And I give him credit. And the one good thing that did come out of it was the fact that the what thing was born, which clearly made him a lot of money with his what shirts. And that's really a shirt that I should probably get. I don't know why I don't have it. it was, I loved it. I mean, the whole what thing still lives to today. And when you think about the effects of WrestleMania 17, the main event, that WrestleMania 17 main event affects today's promos. Why? I just said it. You have those, the what chance. If Austin ever turned heel, he wouldn't have done the what thing. If he didn't do the what thing, it wouldn't have lived as long as it did. And it's still here. 19 years later, we still have the what chance to every single wrestler, performer, all of their dismay, because it is something that is, it does get annoying at times, even as a fan sitting at home. But I understand the itch to participate when you're in an arena. I get it. It's all about participation, and it's easy to do because there are natural pauses in people's speech, and it's particularly wrestling promos. There's just natural pauses in them. So I get it. But it does become a bit distracting, and unbelievably, almost two decades later, it's still alive. It's great. So when you think about what effect this had, it's still here. But in general, guys, I loved this main event. I love the pay-per-view as a whole. It was just straight out badass. It was something that still lives up to today's standards. And, you know, to this day, a lot of people still use WrestleMania 17 as the measuring stick against which all WrestleManias should be measured. Now, is that fair? I guess that's subjective. I mean, to hold that to a standard of today is a little bit, it's difficult because WrestleMania back then was only a few hours long. Now it's like 7 hours long. Back then it was 3 hours, maybe 3.5 tops for WrestleMania. Double that today, right? Plus, you also had a different environment. Number one, it was TV-14 back then. You have TV-PG now. It was a whole different cast of characters. The wrestling environment's different. It's much more micromanaged. You have programs and promos and everything. It's much more controlled than it was back then. So is it fair to compare it to 17? Well, that's up for you to decide. But as we creep closer to WrestleMania 36, isn't that crazy, right? I was just talking about 17. Now it's WrestleMania 36. We certainly have a lot to discuss. We have a lot to break down as the weeks and months start to creep by us. And we will be into February before you know it. And then into March and bye-bye winter. And we will be into the springtime. And April 5th will be here before we all know it. That's just how WrestleMania happens. Honestly, by the time you're in like week 6 of 10, we're going to be like, okay, let's just get to it, right? That's just the way it is. And luckily, we do have two stops in between of the Super Showdown in Saudi Arabia and obviously Elimination Chamber. So there are things to look forward to in the interim. Obviously, WrestleMania being the ultimate destination and those just being a couple of pit stops. But we at least they are rest stops, pit stops for us to take a breather, recalibrate, see where they're going, see the tweaks they're making, and then focus on the ultimate goal of WrestleMania and see what WWE has in store. So, well, guys, this is always a blast. I'm getting the itch to go back to watch the whole program. And if you haven't, my God, what are you doing? You need to see this. Do yourself a favor. Watch the promo videos. They'll catch you up real quick and then go into the match. It reminds you why you are a wrestling fan. It reminds you what drew you to the product. It's matches like these, moments like these, all about the moments. And just like this past Sunday with the Royal Rumble, Edge's return. I haven't watched a wrestling clip over and over that many times since CM Punk had dropped his pipe bomb in Vegas 8 years ago. It's been that long. It was that impactful for me. It was like a piece of my past came back and better than ever. It felt like that. And it's kind of a selfish thing to say. That's not about you. It's about Edge. Yeah, but again, if you've been watching wrestling as long as I have, maybe a lot longer, maybe not even more than a year, when something comes back that you loved and you miss that piece of what your past was and it comes back, it hits you personally in a good way. And that's kind of the way it felt. Plus I felt for the man Edge, Adam Copeland. I felt for him and you could see the emotion in his eyes of being able to come back, do things on his terms and end his career the way he wants to end it and not have any what-ifs. I mean, who the hell wouldn't want that? There are a lot of things in life that I and yourself, I'm sure, would love a second chance at, or you'd redo something or change something all the time, right? All the time. And it's a feel-good story. And Edge looks like he hasn't missed a step. He's in amazing shape. Kudos to him. And I'm really looking forward to what he's going to bring to the table. I'm sure at some point he'll have a run with the championship. And I'm sure at some point he'll turn heel. I'm interested in the heel Edge. Once the nostalgia and the welcome back and feel-good stuff wears off, I could see him having a good heel run. He was a hell of a heel back in the day. So don't count that out. You know, again, rumors are flying that he signed a 3-year deal for a couple of matches each year. Totally fine. I don't need to see him at house shows. I don't need him on every Monday Night Raw, assuming he's on Monday Night Raw. Although that was never announced that he was drafted. He's just kind of floating out there. So I'm fine with a few matches a year. It extends his career. It doesn't feel like he's overstaying his welcome. He gets the Brock Lesnar treatment of getting paid a lot of money to have a limited amount of time in the ring, but it's a win-win. I have no resentment for his schedule. I don't even have resentment for Brock's schedule. I really don't. People are just jealous of Brock Lesnar. That's the bottom line. But Edge is in a place where he can do this. He's in a place that he can still perform at the level he believes that he should perform at. And I'm looking forward to the program, especially I can't wait till he gets to Seth Rollins. I really can't wait till he gets to Seth Rollins. I hope that comes sooner than later. Obviously, his first program is going to be with Orton. We'll see how long that lasts. If it's into, obviously, Super Showdown, probably into Chamber, and then maybe dying out before it gets to WrestleMania. I don't need this going 3 pay-per-views long. There's a lot of history they can pull from. I'm excited for that. But I'm ready for Edge to be involved in some of the new stuff we haven't seen, the new guys we haven't seen. Rollins, please. I would love it. So, alrighty, guys. Well, thank you for joining me. Again, follow me on Twitter at the WWE Podcast and hit me up there if you have questions or concerns or whatever. Email me too at realwwepodcast@gmail.com. I still have email. I still answer email. So thank you for those of you who have reached out and provided feedback on the show and how I can improve, or just saying you like the show. I do pay attention. I do listen, and I do thank you for helping the show improve. So guys, thank you again. And don't forget, tomorrow, AEW, NXT on Friday, and then you'll get a review show for the week coming up on Saturday and Sunday. You'll get a Saturday or Sunday. It sometimes flip-flops depending on my schedule. Weekends are tough, right? Because everyone's got stuff they need to do, especially at night. It's a Super Bowl, so maybe I'll have a Saturday show instead of a Sunday, but that remains to be seen. So everybody, enjoy the end of the week here. For those that work Monday through Friday, we're almost there. We're getting there. And then in a big Super Bowl weekend. So guys, enjoy your evening, night, morning. And as always, I will talk to you next time.
Thanks for listening to the WWE Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe on your favorite podcast app so you don't miss a show. Or head to WWEPodcast.com. And for all of these shows ad-free, head over to patreon.com/WWE Podcast. Until then, we'll see you next time.